welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN, or through our website at coinsplus.com. We always buy and sell all forms of precious metals, rare coins, jewelry, scrap gold, diamond specialists, and we do precious metals portfolios. We help people invest and secure their wealth in a conservative, biblical, long-term fashion, safety, security, and just good preservation is our goal. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service, probably the top 10 in the nation, I'd say at least. An incredible facility, nationally recognized facility, nationally recognized business, been in business over two decades. Christian owned and operated, here to serve you, and planning on being here for many, many years to come. Thanks for all the loyalty and friendships over the years. I can't tell you the value of that. So anyway, thank you for that. I've been gone for a few shows. You probably may not notice some. One, we run encore shows at the time, as Tom Reed calls them. I call them reruns, but he's a lot more skilled and diplomatic than I am in some ways. Good term for that. So I don't know if you know or not know when I'm gone, but basically we run encores. And I'll tell you, folks, without a lot of further ado, I'll see what I can bounce around on a little bit here, but boy, do we got some the political arena. Can you even believe this stuff? Are you watching this stuff with Trump? I mean, this is the saddest, sickest. These are the saddest, sickest moments in American history. I mean, I thought Obama was bad. Folks, we have literally been taken over by a superior faction of socialism. They've overtaken our media. They've overtaken our school systems. And folks, there is a fragment, there is a remnant of constitutionalists left in this nation that are the glue that holds it together. That combined with the Constitution itself, it is the greatest point of frustration for these people. They are so irritated that they cannot just finish their agenda. Today I was listening to, I believe it was the president of Russia. He made a statement. He said, America is getting political schizophrenia because over the Democratic narrative for losing an election that they don't want to take responsibility for. And he said it is tearing America apart. And our citizenry, that's you and me, are in so many ways completely mindless fools. Folks, where does this crap end? They have tried to take Donald Trump down one step after another. Hillary Clinton is blaming James Comey for losing the election. Folks, this is the epitome of what is wrong with America. This is what you do not want your children to think, believe, or behave like. Nothing is their responsibility. Everything is somebody else's fault. They spin. They lie. They undermine. This is Mean Girls at its best. This is the snottiest, most, popular girl in junior high destroying the reputation of other kids to lift themselves up. This is the devil. This is the serpent. This is terrorism. This is destruction of America. People say, oh, it's democracy in action. My tail. First of all, democracy is not what this is about. Folks, we've got to get over this concept of calling ourselves a stinking democracy. And the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's, and the republic for which it stands. We are a republic. We are a land supposed to be a land of rules and laws and regulations and self-control. And I'll tell you what, I was reading some stuff that Newt Gingrich wrote editorial, that's what you call it. Every once in a while, you guys get to see my almost senior moments. But I'm going to get to that here in a quick second. I mean, they are trying to call a special prosecutor and a special, you know, this and a special that. And folks, let me tell you something. They are threatening and jeopardizing Trump from completing his promises of protecting the border and lowering taxes. Folks, do you realize this is what they want to do? People do not understand the importance of these acts that Trump wants to perform. Folks, we are so close. I have gone over on this show the 12 or the 10 tenets, the 10 planks of communism. We're there. We are there, okay? Most people don't quantify it as such, but we are there. And the problem is that as generations pass, we accept things more and more, and then we begin to deny. We accept things as what I call the baseline, as you know what you see, like a child is born into the world and they see trees and cars and planes. And whatever they see, that's okay, because that's their baseline. But if you took a human from 1,000 years ago and dropped them in today, their eyes would bug out of their head and they'd be like, what the heck? Because it's not consistent with their baseline. Well, people are accepting the 10 planks of communism being fully imposed into our society as the baseline now. We have the millennial generation. I have never heard so much negativity about a generation in my lifetime. And I'm only 51 today. And I have never heard anything like this, ever. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are in business. I mean, just a ton. I've got a lot of great friends, good people. Just, I don't know why. I just do. Thank you. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, I hear all about the millennial generation. They're all disappointed. They're frustrated. They're disgusted. They say these kids' number one motivation is like time off. It's the me generation. They go into interviews and they say, how much do I make? What are my benefits? How much time do I get off? Can I be on social media during the day? When do we get holidays? Can I talk to my friends while I'm at work? You know, it just goes on and on like this. And I know this from people who specialize, from human resource specialists at like large engineering firms, which are usually typically the more conservative type people. I've interviewed these kids over and over. I've hired them. I just had a kid I had on a 45-day contract to hire. If he did a good job, he could have had a job. He couldn't. He not only was he borderline illiterate and ADD behavior, because 25% of them supposedly are now. And folks, I'll tell you something. The excessive connection to electronic devices is frying their brains. And by the way, I'm going to jump over and say something here. Don't be the idiot, please, that drives down the stinking road like garbage with a phone on your ear. I am so tired of seeing this stuff. Driving in today, there was a lady going down the interstate. I mean, she must have been doing 45 or 50 in the main lane. And there she just chatter, chatter, chattering away on her phone. I just had to touch on that. Be wise, be smart, be considerate when you drive. Make room for those around you. You know, and vice versa. The problem is, you may not be in a rush today, but you may be in a rush tomorrow. Give the guy who's in a rush some room. I'm not saying I was in a rush. I'm thinking back to the time my wife had an arterial bleed. My daughter and I were rushing her to the hospital. She literally was bleeding out of her artery in her arm because a doctor botched a surgery. And we filled up a bucket with rags full of her blood. She had to have blood transfusions. It was terrible. I was driving very fast to the hospital. And I had some guy who decided it was his duty to teach me what the speed limit was, and he became aggressively obstructive. And I was like, how pathetic. I had to pull some crazy, you know, like cop maneuvers with my car to get around this guy. And, you know, the birds up and everything else. You know, sure, if he found out I was rushing my wife to the hospital with her while she bled out, he might have maybe said, oh, shoot, I didn't know. But why do we care, you know? It's just let people drive, you know. And if you want to chatter on the phone, I'd recommend go buy a Bluetooth device. Modern technology is terrific, folks. They make phenomenal headphones. I mean, I've got these Beats wireless headphones. They're terrific. Go get yourself, splurge, and buy yourself a set of headphones. Light headphones, they're good. But don't be running down the road. It's illegal to have that phone shoved up to your ear. And I hope I'm preaching to the wrong people. But if you're doing that garbage, knock it off. Go get a set of headphones, all right? So there I go. Now I'm going to jump back to where I was, which is these terrific millennials. You guys are like, this guy, my goodness, does anything make him happy? Folks, it's true. This generation is, it may not all be their fault, but we have broken families. We have immorality rammed down the throats of these youngsters. We have, you know, all kinds of stuff on the internet, unbelievable stuff, including, you know, heavy-duty pornography. I don't know if you've all saw Years in the 90s. Dobson did a whole bunch of stuff on it, probably a bunch since then. I just don't have time to listen. But what he really emphasized was the real level of sickness and deviancy that becomes present in this stuff and the misuse of women. And, folks, it breaks my heart. And, you know, I don't know what goes behind these girls or what backgrounds they're from or their desperation to make a buck or their deception. I've heard stories of these poor girls who, you know, they think they're going to be a model and these people take them way out of town to places where they can't get away and terrible things happen to them. And, I mean, if it looks like a rape, folks, on TV or whatever you want to call it on the internet, it probably is. You know, we've had rapes and murders that have popped up on, I guess, Facebook Live, you know. But anyway, this constant attachment to electronics, whether it be video games, texting, emailing, you know, it's out of control. These kids, this millennial generation, they lack a number of interactive skills with humans, interpersonal communication. Because they don't know how to deal with people. They don't know how to read facial expressions. They don't know how to ride out the storm. They're the generation of quitters. They're the generation of low performers. They would rather, you know, do whatever makes them feel good than go buckle down and fight through the wall, you know? And that's the only way to success. Anybody who thinks that you can achieve great success in whatever you do without pain, suffering, and difficulty and sacrifice, that is completely contrary to every biblical precept and principle. The Bible, Proverbs, Philippians, Colossians, all the New Testament, it is about your behavior. It is about your responsibilities and your choices. And these kids think it's everybody else's fault. One thing they found in a study I read that, you know, basically if someone annoys you while you're doing your electronic communication, what do? Click, gone, bye. I'm going to unfriend you. So guess what they do in real life? Click, bye. I'm going to unfriend you. It's all conditional love, folks. It's all conditional relationships. And I'll tell you, mothers and fathers out there, I don't care how old your kids are. You're still a mom and a dad. First of all, folks, we are not responsible to how people respond to us. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not, and you know, I've heard people say, basically, well, you can say whatever you want to somebody and it's their responsibility, their choice how they respond. Not true. Biblical, we've got to be articulate and smooth and graceful and kind and gracious and loving when we speak to people. So do not fool yourself otherwise. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you are walking in the Lord and you are trying to speak the truth to somebody, then you are not responsible for their response, but you are responsible for your attempt. So, mothers, fathers, whatever, if your kids are 21, 26, 32, 18, 13, I don't care. It's your responsibility to teach them. And, you know, so much more goes into positive reinforcement. Kids want to do good. Tell them when they're doing right. Tell them when they're doing wrong. Tell them what's right. Educate what's right. This is the difficult part. A kid does something wrong, and it's easy. It's the most natural response is, don't do that. It's wrong, Johnny. But instead, you say, Johnny, you know, instead of saying, I don't, you know, whatever, say, you know, I don't have a preference. Or you can give them a different phraseology. Tell them how to save it. Say it. One game I played with my kids for a while, a little late, but it helped, was the rephrase game, where I'd say, how can we rephrase that in a kinder, gentler way? And then the kids learn to take what they said, which isn't probably the best, and rephrase it in a kinder, gentler way. And it teaches them a lot of things. It teaches them to be articulate. It teaches them to think about what they say. It teaches them to think about different ways to say things. It teaches them to think about how people respond. And this is a skill that they need to develop because they're not getting it in this world. Now, I'm going to admit, I wasn't your typical father who raised a millennial generation, because we basically had real close to no TV in our house. We did have a TV room. It was up. We had a story and a half house. The TV was up above in a separate area that was just one set of stairs in and one set of stairs out. You didn't pass through it. We didn't have a TV on every wall in the house. You think about it, we built a house about 6 years ago, and we, you know, had a big fireplace in the middle and all this stuff. And people were saying, why don't you put a big TV up there? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. Right in the center of your home, right at the top of that fireplace, you know. What are you saying when you do that? You're saying that's what we worship. That is our high calling right there, is that television. Our kids were raised with a TV that was off the beaten path. I will admit, on weekends, we'd rent a video or a DVD maybe, and we'd watch a movie. But that was it. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, I went a lot of years. I didn't know quite what was going on. I'd catch it on the radio when I was in the car, maybe the news. But, you know, my kids just were not taught that we need that. We did have computers eventually, which of course came, brought with them plenty of problems. And we got to deal with every issue. I mean, from the extreme of, I probably shouldn't disclose this stuff, but we got, back in the day, they had these family filter systems that, you know, were family friendly, filtered internet, you know. Well, they were the worst thing you've ever seen. They were just garbage. Not only did they slow down your internet service beyond your wildest dreams, but they were so bad at filtering. Like when Pamela Anderson had some kind of an issue or a video or a picture that was inappropriate, they would block everything that said had the word Anderson anywhere in the website. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I called them one time and they were just stringent about it. No, that's just the way it works. You cannot look up anybody named Anderson. And I mean, it blocked you from the phone, but it was just unbelievable. But it also blocked from content kids shouldn't see. Well, my teenage son soon figured out how to look things up in Swedish. Yes. And that was interesting. So there are different ways to overcome some of these things. But anyway, we tried. So just, you know, kids, grandkids, whatever, folks, just watch out for them, care for them, live by example, draw lines. And I'll tell you what, let's go to one extreme. You know, many families have disruptive kids, relatives, whatever going on. You've got to be willing to go all the way with kids. I've seen, you know, videos that brothers have taken of their brother just flipping a cork because they got their games taken away, or throwing a huge temper tantrum over Thanksgiving dinner and flipping over the table and, you know, just unbelievable stuff. Those parents need to say, you're out, there's the door. I have a good friend who has a grandson who he deals with some stuff like that. And when, you know, they have to know that you're willing to go all the way. When they're young like that, 14, whatever, you know, if it gets so bad, you have to say, there's the door. You know, they're not going to live out there for too long before they come back and realize that three hots in a cot is a good thing. You know, their neighbor friends, their kids' parents are going to get real sick of raising them. But you got to be able to go all the way with that stuff. And I know that's a little extreme, but who knows? It's actually not. But I don't know always why God leads me in the direction that he does, but perhaps someone needs to hear that. So I won't go on too much longer. The millennial generation's tough. It's made hiring incredibly difficult for so many people I know, including us. I always had a couple young guys in the hopper, and it's just getting very difficult to hire them anymore. If you know any young kid out there that needs a job, that wants to learn some business, and they're going to spend most of their time on the internet at this point, a Christian kid with some wit, some brains, some drive, well, we've got openings, and we pay well. We're not looking for someone who's retired, who's looking for a new entry-level position. This is more, the generation that tends to be a little more in touch with the internet and stuff like that. But it's something we need. If you happen to know someone like that, get them in touch with us. We do pay better than they're going to find anywhere else. And we'll interview them and see if they fit. So that's that. Back to the wonderful world of Trump. Folks, first of all, they're trying to take Trump out, aren't they? And what have we learned so far through the entire election? What did they try to do during the entire election? Take Trump out. They can't get it in their head. He will stand. This guy isn't going anywhere. He's done nothing wrong. Here's what's really bothering me. Now they're going after Paul Manafort, his attorney and a campaign advisor, because before the election, long before, he did work for either Iran or Russia as an ambassador and whatever. And now they're going to hold him, you know, and do investigations. I mean, folks, come on. The biggest problem is, like I said, the foolishness of our generation is they buy into this. And then you've got these radical left-wing news stations that are just the fake news. That term is so true. There's no shame. Journalism is dead. They absolutely are not seeking the truth. They don't care if they're destroying America. They've got a socialistic agenda. They would rather propagate homosexuality and abortion and illegal immigration than anything else. I mean, think about it. What are the hot topics? What are these guys pushing? Homosexuality, transgender rights, you know, what they want to call equal rights, equal pay for equal work and all this. Great. Totally for it. Here's the problem. You will find in studies show, well, first of all, under the Obama administration, women were paid far less. But no, the left won't touch this stuff. They are not seeking the truth. Studies show that many times women have taken many years off to raise children or whatever. They'll go back into the workplace, get a good job, and then they'll look. And then these liberal organizations will say, well, let's take a look. You have this male doing the same position as this female, and the female's getting paid less. They don't look at the fact that the male has 13 more years experience or in an extra degree or whatever. That seems to be the prevalent overlooked variable of all these things that I have seen. I'm all for equal work for equal pay. I think that the society absolutely forcing these women to work while their children are in daycare. My daughter had my grandson at the beginning of December. She had 6 weeks paid maternity, 6 weeks unpaid, and then she was supposed to go back after 12 weeks. And she's like, and before she had the kid, I said, you're going to stay here. Or you're going to stay in town and you're going to take care of him for a while and we'll help you in whatever way we can, you know, so you don't have to work and we'll assist you. And she's like, no, no, Dad, I'm going back to work. Tons of girls do it. I said, nah, we'll see. So, of course, as those 12 weeks approaches and now she's a mother, she's like, my goodness, I don't want to leave my child. I want to be with my child. It is natural. Society tells these girls it is good for you and it is good for that child to leave that child in a daycare. Malarkey. There's no way that's good for that child, and there's no way that's good for that mother. There's no way we're made to do this. The stress levels that Americans are enduring now, folks, is unbearable. There's too much pressure on us to perform. We've all got to have, you know, people say, oh, keeping up with the Joneses. The fact of the matter is it's getting expensive to live. Our incomes have gone up over the last 20 years only fractionally in line with inflation. 30 years ago, I think it was, let me think, 90, so say 25 years ago, the average income coming out of college of an engineer was about $35,000. Now it's in the 60 range, okay? So that's 30 years. In that same amount of time, so that's gone up about, what, 80%. In that same amount of time, the cost of living's gone up about 135%. That's for engineers. Now, minimum wage is a whole different thing. Minimum wage has gone from 6 to 9, about a 50% increase. You know, it's absolutely out of line. So it just isn't keeping up with inflation at all. It's hard to live. People end up in debt. Our example comes from our government. It's a stinking shame. There is so many things. This world is changing so fast. We've got Amazon annihilating department stores faster than anyone can imagine. 80 million Prime subscribers. And it's destroying businesses left and right. Unbelievable. It's racking up these recent corporate bankruptcies. We're being realigned as a nation. U.S. student and auto loan debt are almost $3 trillion. U.S. student loans and auto loan debt now is almost $3 trillion in this nation. We are in debt so deep, folks. You know, we've got, now we're seeing these housing bubbles all over the world. All these huge mortgage lenders are crashing. We don't hear any of this on our news. These are shockwaves from our poor behavior. We're in this epic retirement crisis. The median family of retirement age has $12,000 in savings at retirement. You need to take that serious, folks. I don't care who you are. You need to be in here saving. I don't care if you're buying an ounce of silver as often as you can. I don't care. I don't care if you're spending $4 on a silver quarter. I don't care if you're spending $2 on a silver dime. You've got to save. You've got to budget. The Bible's very clear. Your first 10% goes to the Lord, but 100% of it belongs to the Lord. You've got to bring in like another 10, 20, whatever. You've got to start saving. Do not end up in this situation. I understand you're broke sometimes and it's tough, but there's got to be something you can go without for most of you. I understand some of you are really in a tough situation, and if that's the case, you need assistance. But if you're just not a good saver or a budgeter, you've got to budget. And what I mean by that is very simple. Make a list of your monthly bills. Make a list of how much you pay per month. Make a list, if there are any loans or credit card balances, of how much you owe on each credit card or each car loan or house or whatever, and then list the interest rate there. And then what you need to do is you need to have down below the extras. You need to add in your entertainment and your groceries. You've got to see what's going out on a monthly basis and compare that with what's coming in. You've got to do it. I know people that say, I was talking with a single mother who said, I can't do that. I don't make enough money. She says, I run out of money. And then I get a relative helps me out. I said, so you spend money till you run out. But you refuse to look at it. You just keep spending money. She says, well, I'm good with my money. How in the heck can you say you're good with your money if you don't even know what the ratio of spending to coming in is? So then as we talk further and further, I find out she's got a daughter in soccer. Not just regular soccer, an elite soccer league. She travels all the time. Big bucks going out the door. She's a single mom on a meager wage. And who does she hang out at this elite league? Oh, all these very wealthy, upper-level, suburban, you know, moms that have husbands working, et cetera. Now, all of a sudden, she's comparing herself to these other women. She's not these other women. God puts us in our own situation. And I'll tell you what, if you are not faithful with little, you are not going to get much. And that doesn't mean pinching your pennies only. It means you need to budget and look it in the eye. How soon till you run out? What's going out the door that's going to kill you? You need to know. You need to know. You got to manage it and organize it. It says everything about who you are. Housekeeping, folks, ladies, you got a dirty house, filthy house, junk pile. That is a reflection of your character, like it or not. People say, oh, I don't care. I'm too busy serving the Lord. It doesn't matter to me, clutter and mess. Oh, yes, it does. Do you think heaven's going to be like that? Do you think heaven's going to have boxes and magazines and garbage all over and dust under the furniture and trash packed everywhere? I don't think so. Do you think Jesus lived like that? No, it's not right. God didn't make us that way because we have a mind of order. Order out of chaos is we're made in his image. What did God do? He created order out of chaos. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says now the world was translated without form and void. The words are tohu and bohu. It meant catastrophic chaos, mess, terribly destroyed. And what did God do? He created order out of chaos. When it comes to housekeeping, create order out of chaos. You get rid of everything you don't need, first of all. And I mean, people who hoard, it's very difficult, but you just get it. You got it. Who cares if you think you might need it? Ask yourself, can you go without it? Not, might I need it now and then? Can you go without it and get it out of there? Got it, got it, got it. Organize. Do a little bit every day. The Japanese trend, they call it Kaizen. This is a constant state of improvement. Every motion, every movement you make is trying to be better than the last. If you are in that state all the time, they've shown that you will continue to improve. I am a firm believer in, you know, that a clean house is a happy home. A clean home is a happy home. A filthy home is not. And then you pass that on to your kids, and they get married, and they have problems, and they have no organization. It's a matter of self-control. Sorry if I offend, but you know what? If you're a junker and you got property full of trash to the point where it's offending your neighbors, that's not okay. You say, well, I can do whatever I want on my land. Sure. Do you want to be a stumbling block? You think somebody's going to look at you and say, man, now that's what a Christian looks like. I really want to. I love the aroma of Christ along with the aroma of rotten trash. No. We have got to set an example of absolute cleanliness and perfection. We seek excellence in all that we do, not just our spiritual game. And what I mean by that, don't misunderstand me, everything you do is a spiritual game. Everything you do reflects who you are spiritually. Do you want to be the best of the best? What if the U.S. military was like that? Hey, you know, we don't know what we got, you know, and who cares? I don't know how much ammo. There's a big box over there. Just take it. Just throw your junk over there, guys. Don't even worry about it. I don't know if the guy tuned that tank up. I mean, you know, we got a lot to do. We're serving the country, you know? No, these things don't work. Why is it that, a clean ship is a happy ship, folks? We can't lie to ourselves. We want to be exceptional in everything we do. Get up and clean. Get it out of there. All this junk you haven't used, get rid of it. Don't ask yourself if you need it because you're a hoarder. And if you don't think you're a hoarder, it's pretty easy to tell. Don't lie to yourself. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, clean your life out. Spring cleaning. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Get the junk out of your house, out of your yard. You'll feel great. Vacuum, clean. Maybe it's time to spend your money and buy some new carpet. I don't know. But it reflects who we are. Organize your life. Be structured. God wants you to have a plan. Schedule a plan. Saving for retirement. Come and see us. 401ks and IRAs, you better protect them. Right now, we've got the hammer coming down on Trump. We've got so much going on in this world, folks. I am telling you, I keep saying it. I don't know when, I don't know where, but you know. Can this go on forever? No. We've got pressure from abroad like you cannot believe. We are not fitting in globally. Obama tried to make us into a nation that we are not, and now we are suffering the terrible pains of his destructive communist Fabianistic agenda. Saul Alinskyism, Cloward and Pivenism. This guy trashed this place. You ever seen pictures of Trump's desk and Obama's desk? They have pictures of Obama literally kicking his feet upon the desk, big empty desk, nothing on it. They've got other pictures of him standing with one foot up on the table, the sole of his foot on his desk in the Oval Office talking on the phone. They've got tons of pictures of him kicking back, hands crossed in his lap, both feet crossed on the desktop. Well, that is disrespectful to me. That is the Oval Office. The greatest men in this nation have sat in there. That is not who we are. Trump, feet on floor, desks piled with stuff. Ah, don't take me wrong, though. Not messy, though. Stacks, organized and controlled. They've said this man's doing more in a week than Obama did in a term. And yet they are attacking him. They don't care. They won't give him credit. He's a businessman. He's there to go to work. And they are trashing and destroying him. And we have got to do everything in our power. Be bold. Be strong. Speak the truth. It is time. Don't worry about offending others. Speak the truth. Be gracious. Be wise. Be knowledgeable. Know what you're talking about. You don't have to sit and explain everything to people. You just speak the truth. Too many people try to explain. Too many people value their efficacy or effectiveness in communicating with others if they can get others to agree, to understand and agree. No, they're not going to. This is the devil's domain, folks. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it is literally against spirit, you know, principalities. It's not against flesh and blood. And that's the problem. That's what we think, that we are fighting against flesh and blood. And we are not. Our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Speak the truth. You know, what does Paul say? Be courageous against some who regard us as if we walk according to the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You've got to walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit. I've talked plenty about that. I am alarmed about what's going on, folks. I'm just bothered to the core. You know, we have got this special prosecutor thing. Now, I want to go over something I read from Newt Gingrich that he wrote before this last despicable, dishonest smearing of the president, where the president met with the Russian leaders and he had a conversation about security issues. Maybe or maybe not something came up about a laptop style bomb that we're concerned about, that maybe we've picked up through certain sources, which may have been Israel. It doesn't matter. They want to say that he's revealing state secrets with an enemy. The president of the United States has the right to declassify anything in a security setting that he chooses with any world ruler. All of these things they're purporting are absolute lies, okay? So Lieutenant General McMaster said Monday in response to his, this Washington press corps hysteria, where they came up with these lies. This is National Security Advisor, NSA, Lieutenant General McMaster's. He was sitting in the meeting. He said, there's nothing the president takes more seriously than the security of the American people. The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range, that's a foreign minister of Russia, of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. He said, at no time were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not discuss any military operations that were not already publicly known. He then went on to say two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State. Remember, he says, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said so. In other words, he said two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way I do. This is Lieutenant General of the NSA McMaster's. And they've both said so. Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh anonymous resources. He says, I was in the room. It didn't happen. When the media is taking anonymous resources of anonymous sources over the highest ranking security officials in our government, folks, we are on a witch hunt beyond witch hunts. It is unbelievable. You have got the branches of government. You know, you've got the judicial, the legislative, the executive, and what's big number four? The media. The fourth estate. The problem that we have is, number one, the media is sold out against Trump. Left-wing socialism. Legislative branch, Congress. Folks, these people are supposed to support their president. They're so afraid that they're beginning to cave and make comments they should not make. They're beginning to play into the narrative of the media. They're giving in. The judicial branch, Supreme Court. We don't even know yet. Of course, the executive branch is doing what he's got to do. But I'm telling you, folks, there's a spin going on that's a concern. And then, you know, so basically, after almost 4 months of watching this news media's unending dishonesty, hostility, and contempt towards Trump and his administration, I mean, it is time, folks, to look the truth in the eye. And somebody's got to speak the truth. President's not the greatest articulator I've ever seen, okay? It frustrates me. He can't explain things. These people need to come right out and say these are bald-faced lies, these are sick attacks, and they need to unanimously sing this same rejection. The President of the United States owes the American people what? According to his promises, he owes them a sound job, a good job as their commander in chief, protecting this country. The President of the United States, Trump, owes the American people a dramatically stronger economy with more jobs, better take-home pay, and increased opportunities for investment growth. This is what he promised. This will help people prepare for retirement, like we just discussed, strengthen pension funds, and guarantee the solvency of Social Security. This is what he promised. The president owes the American people a better health system with greater access, lower costs, and better outcomes, better health outcomes. These are his promises. Indeed, the president owes the American people these things. He made these promises. But the president does not owe anything to this Washington press corps, this radical left-wing socialist bunch of propagandists, and the left-wing hypocrites who dominate today's media cycle. He owes them nothing. He does not have to kowtow to them. However, they are pulling strings of influence that is beyond our dreams. I'll tell you something. After reading the transcripts from President Franklin D. Roosevelt's opening press conference in March 8th of 1933 with the White House press corps, think about this. FDR, their big hero, right? I say socialist, they say hero. I think we're paying the price, and I'll take you a quick walk through history. Federal Reserve Act, I mean, let's back all this up. we basically have so many things going on in this nation right now. The Bible says if you honor your father and mother, you'll live a long, healthy, happy life. So what happened in the 60s? We got this independence. I mean, so you back it all the way up. It's hard to know where to stop. But, well, let's go to the Federal Reserve Act. So we go to the Federal Reserve Act where we create false money. We begin to pump this money alongside the already circulating gold and silver. We create notes that deceive people to make them think that the new Federal Reserve notes also backed by gold and silver. Because we infused all this into an economy that was dependent on a trustworthy dollar, we got what was called the Roaring Twenties. We had money flowing like water. We introduced banking into it, finance everything. People had never done it before. They were irresponsible. They just made bad choices, and debt went awry because the new Federal Reserve Act said every dollar had to be backed by a dollar of debt. Every dollar created did. So you get the Roaring Twenties. Out of control. Hyperinflation's kicking in. The Fed begins to retract dollars because they have confiscated silently a huge portion of the precious metals. As John Maynard Keynes said, his economic system allows the government to confiscate an important part of the people's wealth secretly and unobserved without their knowing it. By the late 20s, this had been done. The market is roaring. People are making money hand over fist, they think. And then they retract the currency. You get the crash of 29. Roaring 20s, crash of 29. People jumping off of buildings. The stock market explodes. It was their first experience with this stuff. And we roll into the Great Depression. Because of the Great Depression, FDR gets elected, and he comes into office, and he begins to institute all this socialistic activity. He tries and tries and tries to implement the 10 planks of communism in his New Deal. The Supreme Court continues to shut it down. He finally threatens, if you don't go along with my game, I am going to do an executive order increasing Supreme Court from 9 members to 15. I will appoint the 15. They will agree with everything I say. Supreme Court backs off and starts to approve some of this stuff they should not. We end up with all these socialistic activities and behaviors, and America becomes, you know, is starting to become this way. We're in a deep financial rut because socialism doesn't work. Keynesian economics doesn't work. So now we need production and industry. So what do? We go into World War II, and it was no accident. Pearl Harbor was predictable. They were warned and so on. World War II hits. The men go off to war. FDR asked the women to stay back and help. He says, will you work in the factories? Will you do this? Will you sew? Will you build ammo? Will you work for this country? And he gets women to patriotically go to work. And they start to make a wage while their husbands are off fighting. Their husbands come back from war. Women are now working. And they say, hey, keep your job. I'll get a job. Together, we'll make more income than we've ever made. We're going to increase our lifestyle. We're going to buy a bigger house. We're going to give our kids a dream life. We're going to get 2 cars instead of one. So this income issue begins. We start to break the family up. The moms aren't home. Traditional family starts to come apart at the seams a little bit. Debt starts to become a big part of life. By the 60s, we've got the results of a broken home. We've got the results of mothers working. We end up with kids growing up without the nuclear family fully intact. And then we begin to integrate all of these new liberal policies. We introduce drugs. Marijuana becomes rampant. And actually, LSD is really what it was. Folks, the CIA created LSD and introduced it to the public, frying the brains of the youth. So the 60s, we begin a generation that does not honor their mother or father. And what follows the 60s is what? Roe v. Wade. Our nation begins to support abortion, which is the single shortest, most destructive life term possible. So we go from honor your father and mother and live healthy, happy, long lives, a structured nuclear family, to the broken family, resulting in abortion being the business cry of this nation. The number one abortion nation in the world. Killing babies in the womb. This is the product to a nation of disobeying God's word, especially the promise. The only command with the promise, live like this and you will benefit this. Well, the contrary is obvious. Don't live like this and you're going to see death in a short lifespan. Now we are a nation saturated by the blood of unborn children. And from there, we basically go on. We've got the parents. We start to introduce the liberalism. We get the Department of Education, which stops teaching children in the traditional constitutional methods. And we begin to create liberalism. And then this generation becomes parents of a new generation. They're more tolerant. And all of a sudden, you end up at the millennial generation. So my point is this. From FDR's opening press conference with the White House press corps in March 8th of 33, during his inaugural meeting with the press, no one was permitted to directly quote the president except by a prepared quote from the president's office. The vast majority of the conversation was either without attribution or completely off the record. The media, the press corps was not allowed to record it. It was off the record. The purpose the president did this meeting was so the media could understand what was going on, but not for them to play this gotcha or win clever attacks disguised as questions game. Those were the rules from one of the more socialistic presidents ever. Since Watergate, when they took Nixon down, the news media has acquired a steadily more arrogant attitude, and they've moved further and further and further to the left. Today, they are the adversarial opponents of conservatives, especially the Trump administration. This has come to an all-time head. Newt Gingrich said that he learned the hard way as Speaker of the House that he could not regularly meet with reporters on camera. He said it set up an arena for gotcha questions. Reporters gained imaginary points for finding stupid, narrow, and irrelevant things to argue over, instead of being an opportunity for a genuine public dialogue. He said the daily on-camera briefings became a bloody battleground, totally to his disadvantage. Within a few weeks, he said, they were forced to stop. President Trump's instinct to radically overhaul his relationship with the media is right. When reporters behave like picadors in daily briefings, they try desperately to taunt and embarrass Sean Spicer, public relations, rather than listen and report on what he's saying, it undermines our free society's right to accurate information. The daily briefing draws these huge audiences, almost like a reality TV spectacle, but it doesn't serve our country or president one bit of good. While there remains a few serious, historically minded reporters, they are unfortunately becoming more and more and more of a rarity. Instead, much of the Washington press corps has become an incestuous collection of voyeurs who watch, judge, and attack without any knowledge or responsibility. They're ignorant. They're blurting out their mouth. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, only in expressing his own opinion, in Proverbs 18:2, which creates a hostile, propagandistic, and distorted version of news coverage. The visit by Egyptian President el-Sisi to the White House last month led to a young American woman being released from an Egyptian jail. If Obama had achieved this, it would have been lauded by the press as the major sign of leadership and compassion. However, because it was President Trump, the media didn't even touch it. They ignored it. And similarly, when the new relationship between President Trump and the Chinese President Xi Jinping directly resulted in a trade breakthrough for American beef, natural gas, and certain financial services, which ended a 13-year period in which the Chinese refused to buy our beef, we heard nothing from the media. It should bring billions of dollars into the U.S., yet the media felt it wasn't important enough to cover. I mean, Trump's jobs numbers, I'm running out of time, but his job numbers, manufacturing in particular, have been remarkable. But of course, the Washington reporters treat the release of these numbers as non-events. After all, this would mean they have to report good news. And in the left-wing newsrooms in which they are so deeply embedded, positive news relating to President Trump is simply not permissible. He's got this upcoming trip to Saudi Arabia, Israel, the Vatican, Brussels, and the G7 in Sicily. which is unbelievable, especially, you know, one who the media insisted knew nothing about international relations. But, of course, the news media wants to trivialize the trip with a discussion of White House gossip and whether the diplomatic journey will have a big domestic effect and blah, 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 as they define it. And they come off and they say, how much will he screw up? And if you go through the first 4 months of news coverage, folks, you cannot deduct anything but a complete slaughterhouse. Everything's backed by unnamed anonymous sources. It's obvious how overwhelmingly negative, hostile, gossipy, and focused on undermining and weakening President Trump and his team the press corps truly is. I'm out of time. But folks, I'll tell you, obvious, right? We are in deep, deep stuff. I say give us a call, 444-0044 or 877-TAP-COIN. Just preserve and protect yourself. We are in a rough spot. If they get anything they want out of this, you know, impeachment or whatever, folks, just prepare yourself. Go get yourself biblically, financially secure. 401ks and IRAs, folks, they're glass. They're smooth as glass. It's the easiest process. When you buy metals, when you buy what we sell, you're not buying, you're not even investing. You're just purchasing money. You have a hard liquid asset, the most liquid asset on planet Earth. You can liquidate it faster than anything you've ever owned. It's instant cash. You can walk in the door and walk out. Our margins are fractional. They're just percentage points. They're tiny. They're fair. This is the real stuff. It's wealth. It's value. It's true wealth. It's truth. Anonymous, transportable, immediately liquid, anywhere, anytime, world recognized. Please give us a call. Stop procrastinating. Don't be brainwashed by the world. I don't care what they say. Truth is truth. And I wish I could have got a little more into my ideas here. But anyway, I appreciate you tuning in again. I always do. And I just wish you the very best. And I do sincerely hope that you can give us a call. Take care. God bless. We'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.